Brexit means Brexit.
Brexit is unumstossbar.
Rocket Man should have been handled a long time ago. He's fired!
Au nom du peuple français!
Wir schaffen das.
Make our planet great again.
Don't worry, be happy.
I will kill you if you destroy my country.
Better is always possible.
Let's do this!
I ain't spending any time on it.
Hello, I'm Brett Mason in the gallery for SBS World News. What an extraordinary and in many ways unprecedented week it's been here in the nation's capital. Malcolm Turnbull driven out of Parliament as Scott Morrison is sworn in as Australia's 30th Prime Minister.
I, Scott John Morrison, do swear that I will well and truly serve the people of Australia in the office of Prime Minister and that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, Queen of Australia, so help me God.
You're now the 30th Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Australia. Congratulations.
Thank you, Your Honour.
In a moment, Malcolm Turnbull takes a swipe at those he accuses of mounting an internal insurgency. But first, here's Scott Morrison, Australia's 30th Prime Minister.
There's a few more here than usual, George. Right.
They're still familiar faces.
There's been a lot of talk this week about whose side people are on in this building. And what Josh and I are here to tell you, as the new generation of Liberal leadership, is we're on your side. That's what matters. We're on your side. And we're on your side because we share beliefs and values in common as you go about everything you do each day. Getting up in the morning, getting off to work, turning up on site, getting the parent you're caring for up in the morning, exchanging that smile each and every day, getting the kids off to school, getting home at night. Perhaps, if you're lucky, a bit of time together, those happy moments, too often too far between with the pressures that so many families face today. The Liberal Party is on your side. The National Party is on your side. The values and beliefs that we hold is what connects us all. If you have a go in this country, you'll get a go. There's a fair go for those who have a go. That's what fairness in Australia means. This is something we hold very dear to us. It's why we believe that Australians should keep more of what they earn. It's why we believe that those who have come from so many different parts of the world to this country to create this country and demonstrated that by their very actions, they've sought that fair go in this country, as we all have whenever we got here, 10 generations ago or 10 minutes ago. We've come to have a go and we'll get a fair go. That regardless of our ability or circumstances, we're here to make a contribution rather than take one. That in order for you to do better, you don't think someone else has to do worse. This is important values and principles that we believe deeply, that our party believes, that our government believes and will drive us. We believe that the best form of welfare is a job. That's what releases people out of poverty. That's what releases people out of hardship. The dignity of work, the ability to go and have choices as a result of the efforts you make, regardless of your level of ability. It's one of the reasons I've always been a big fan of the National Disability Insurance Scheme and why I've also always been so keen to ensure it's funded. Because I know that scheme releases people with disabilities to be able to do what they want to do, and that is to make a contribution and to be able to take themselves forward and their families. That everyone has to play by the rules in this country. Everyone. Whether you're a big business setting electricity prices or loaning money, or you're just someone parking in the street, We've all got to live by the rules of this country, the law of our land. These are values we uphold, and it's important that we do that right across our areas of policy. And that we believe that we should decide our own future as individuals, as families, as communities, and of course as a nation. We all want to be able to make our own choices in life. Whether it's about who comes to our country, as John Howard famously said, or what school you want your kids to go to, or what team they want to follow. I suggest the Sharks, but that is not going to be a matter of national policy, I assure you.
For Victorians.
Particularly for Victorians. We believe in choice. And because of that, it means we can believe in our future. We're an optimistic, we're a passionate, and we are an ambitious people, full of aspiration for ourselves, for our families, and of course for our great nation, for all of us. That's what we believe as Liberals. Our plan, my plan for this country, is for an even stronger Australia. To keep our economy strong, to guarantee the essentials that Australians rely on. To keep Australians safe from terrorism and all the way to bullying in our schools. To keep our country together. To not pit one group of Australians against another. To ensure that one can succeed and all can succeed. That one doesn't have to fail for another one to succeed. We have a lot of challenges as a country, and we will get through them as we always have, together. Now, our job, particularly for Josh and I, as we take forward this new mantle of leadership as a new generation, is to ensure that we not only bring our party back together, which has been bruised and battered this week, but that will enable us to ensure we bring the parliament back together, that we can continue to work to ensure that our country stays close together. We're a resilient bunch, Australians. I mean, the fact that we have had the longest running economic success of any nation in the world today is a tribute to the resilience of the Australian people. And they need that continued leadership to take them forward, not just on the economy, but of every aspect of Australian life that we feel so proud to be a part of, and that Josh and I feel so proud to lead. So, in making those statements about the direction, let me also tell you my immediate priorities. In addition to, of course, our economic and national security, is the drought. I've already discussed this, as Josh has said, with the leader of the National Party. This is our most urgent and pressing need right now. And I'll be meeting with Major General Day as soon as possible to review our drought response plans and to hear from him, and working with the Nationals and our regional and rural Liberal members to ensure that we do what's necessary to help our regional communities, our farmers and all those affected. We will do what is necessary and coordinate with the states and territories. That will be my first focus, but there are many others. And I can take questions on that. Before I throw to Josh, let me say a few words about today also. I want to start by thanking, and he still is, the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull. I've known Malcolm for a long time, as you know. He has been a dear friend. He has served his country in a noble and professional way. Josh and I have watched and worked with him as he has led our cabinet and the achievements we've been proud to serve with him as a government. Whether it's in the economy, whether it's in all the other areas that Malcolm has outlined today at his earlier press conference, he's a great Australian who's contributed a great deal to this country, and our party and our nation will be very grateful for his contribution. Also, I want to thank Julie Bishop, and I'm sure Josh will remark as well. She's been a rock star for the Liberal Party, as a foreign minister, and for Twitter and Facebook. She has been an amazing contributor and driver of foreign policy, and an advocate for Liberal values from one end of this country to the other, and one end of this world to the other. And we thank her for her service, and I'll be talking to her, obviously, about what role she would like to play in the government that we will now seek to put together. I also want to thank Peter Dutton for the service that he has provided. I actually recommended him for the job as Minister for Immigration and Border Protection after I left it some years ago, and he has served faithfully in that role and Home Affairs. And I look forward, if he so chooses, for him to be playing a role in the government which I intend to lead. Finally, though, I want to thank Josh. I've worked with Josh for many years. We didn't run as a ticket today. That's not how it should be, in our view. We knew that each of us needed to seek a mandate in our own right to heal our party, to bring our nation together and go forward. And so he sought his, and I sought mine. Just turns out he voted for me and I voted for him. But that was an expression, I think, of a natural relationship between the two of us. We got a lot of work to do. Wasn't planning to take too many questions today. We will deal with other policy matters and other issues. And, of course, I've got further work to do with the National Party today before heading out to Yarralumla later this evening. And we'll be dealing with that then. I look forward to working with Michael McCormack and his entire team. Michael and I have known each other for a long time, and I look forward to a very productive relationship with the Nationals. And on that, I'll hand you over to Josh.
Well, thanks very much, Prime Minister-elect. Firstly, a big thank you to Malcolm Turnbull and Julie Bishop for their outstanding contribution to the nation and to the party. It's been a tough few days, but their contribution will stand them in good stead and will be remembered fondly for years to come. The last week has been about us. And from here on, it's about the Australian people. I've been privileged to work with people from all walks of life, from Devonport to Townsville, from Perth to Parramatta. And what they expect from their government is to hear their concerns and to deliver for them jobs, reduce cost of living and economic and national security. So my message to the Australian people today is that we are here to serve you, and that every waking hour of the Morrison government will be spent delivering for the people of Australia.
Mr. Morrison, there's a lot of people out there are anxious about what's going to happen with the government. I know you haven't got details straight away, but do you envisage a major shift in any policy direction, economically or otherwise, on immigration? And are you prepared to keep Conservatives in your cabinet as a healing gesture?
Well, I'll be considering the formation of the Ministry and the Cabinet, of course, over the course of the weekend, and I'll have more to say about that. It is important, as both Josh and I remarked in the party room today, referring to both the Conservative and Liberal traditions of the Liberal Party, that is reflected in the team which I bring together. It's also important that we provide the stability of government, which we will be able to do. I think today what the party voted for was that stable choice moving to a new generation. And that means that we'll have a continuity, but there will be points of emphasis and direction that we'll be consulting with our cabinet on. I will run a cabinet government, as like my predecessor, and I've been part of cabinet governments, and we will consult with our colleagues. We will listen to our colleagues on the backbench, on the outer ministry, those who work in the assistant ministry, and we have to work it as a team. Today, our team needs to look after the events of this week and how that's impacted on them. And they've gone back to their electorates, they've gone back to their families, and they're going to listen, and they're going to bring things back to us. And where there needs to be changes, they will be made. And where there needs to be continuity, then that will be maintained.
How are you going to handle the Wentworth by-election? Are you disappointed that Malcolm Turnbull's going to be depriving you of a governing majority? And are you planning on heading to an election now, or will it still be towards May next year?
Once the government, and particularly Josh and I, have been sworn into our respective roles, we anticipate later this evening, then we will go through the normal process of government. We intend to be governing. And we've got a lot to do as a fresh new team. So I don't don't think anybody should be making any plans for any elections anytime soon. The Prime Minister, as he currently is, has indicated to me at some time he would be moving away from politics, and I understand and I respect that and I understand it fully. Those arrangements as yet have not been activated, and so I'm not making any assumptions on that point. I wish Malcolm and his family well. They will spend some time together in each other's arms, as they always are, and we will deal with those matters. But I look forward to my first electoral test as a government. I look forward to it. I relish it. And I know the beaches of Bronte pretty well, having grown up on them as a kid and played footy on the local fields. And I look forward to going back there and probably get to pop in and see Mum and Dad while I'm over there. Yeah.
Treasurer, is the National Energy Guarantee, and perhaps Josh might care to answer this, that's still the government policy? Is it one of the areas you'd be looking at changing? And is it, if this is the end of the Turnbull Abbott era, is there any prospect of Tony Abbott joining your ministry?
Look, all of these are going to matters of detail at this stage, Dennis, that I'm not going to go into, other than to say our government is going to put electricity prices down. We will put in place what we have said from the ACCC report, which is to provide the safety net on price. We will put the big stick to ensure that the big energy companies do the right thing by you, the customers, and we will ensure that we are backing an investment in new energy generation capacity. That's what we will be doing. Specific matters of policy and any changes in that area, I will consult with my new cabinet.
Why did your party remove a sitting Prime Minister today? I think the Australian public would love to know, in your own words, why your party removed a sitting Prime Minister.
Well, you're looking at two people who did not do that today and who were very loyal and committed to the government that we were privileged to form part of, as we had been previously under the former government. And we will provide the stability and the unity and the direction and the purpose that the Australian people expect of us as leaders, both of our party and as of our great nation.
Mr Morrison, what are your other policy priorities apart from drought?
Well, drought is the first thing I think I need to turn the attention to, but issues such as electricity prices, I mean, there is the continuation of consideration of that area. In healthcare, I am distressed by the challenge of chronic illness in this country and those who suffer from it, affordable medicines, aged care, Medicare, small and medium-sized businesses, and to ensure that we're continuing to deliver the encouragement and support to that enterprise ethic that exists across our economy. There's some key early priorities, but it really does come back to those three things. Keeping our economy strong, keeping Australians safe, and keeping Australians together. Okay, last question.
Funding for non-government schools.
There are some outstanding issues from the previous government that we will continue to resolve and work through. And on that note, I think it's other things we've got to get to. We're forming a government. The work of government continues. I want to assure all Australians that those normal wheels are turning. We'll be swearing in the new government next week in terms of the ministry. And as I said, Josh and I in our respective roles as the Treasurer, I wish him well with that task. It's a tough one, mate, I can assure
Big
you.
Big shoes to fill.
And you, I know you'll do a great job in it, and I look forward to working with you all in the future. Thank you all very much.
Well, good afternoon. It may surprise you on a day like this, but I remain very optimistic and positive about our nation's future. And I want to thank the Australian people for the support they've given me and my government over the last nearly 3 years. We've been able to achieve, as a progressive government, as a progressive Liberal coalition government, enormous reforms and very, very substantial achievements. You know, the foundation of everything you do in government is a strong economy. And we have delivered, as we promised, jobs and growth. You may have heard that before. We've got record jobs growth in Australia last year. We have strong economic growth, 3.1%, as you know, higher than any of the G7 economies. And that has enabled us to do so much more. Despite the minority position in the Senate and the one-seat majority in the House of Representatives, we've been able to deliver substantial taxation reforms. Much more than any of you, thought possible. Substantial personal income tax reforms, the biggest in more than 20 years. tax reductions for small and medium businesses, overwhelmingly Australian family-owned businesses. We've also been able to get on with the job of important historic infrastructure. I'm very proud that we are underway with Snowy Hydro 2.0. I know sometimes my opponents in the Labor Party say that I'm not committed to renewables. Well, I tell you, we're building and we're going to build the biggest single renewable project in Australia since Snowy Hydro 1.0. So it's that is a substantial commitment. Plus, we're getting on and building the Western Sydney Airport, the Inland Rail, and we'll build a railway to from Melbourne out to Tullamarine. So many other big infrastructure projects. We've been able to do it because of strong economic growth. We've also taken a different approach. I have been a reforming Liberal Prime Minister. It, of course, you know, one of the many difficult political challenges that we've faced, particularly in the coalition, has been the issue of marriage equality. Now, we have delivered that. Same-sex marriage is legal. We went through a postal vote, as you know, which was hugely successful, again, much more successful than many thought, and we have delivered that historic reform, a very substantial one. We've also established a national redress scheme for the victims of child sexual abuse. We've provided record support for mental health services and indeed for health services right across the board, whether it is hospitals, Medicare, pharmaceutical benefit scheme. None of those things could have been done without the strong economy that we've delivered. Our childcare reforms also have been once-in-a-generation reforms. But I have taken a different approach as a federal leader, as a federal government, to the way we engage with cities. As you know, historically, federal governments played a limited role, a sort of an ad hoc role with cities, and very often you had federal government, state government, local government, often moving in roughly the same direction but being a bit like ships in the night. The City Deals program has been a real innovation, a very, very welcome reform and working very well, enabling the first time to see federal government money systematically going into work in partnership with communities so that you agree on what your vision is and then get on and do it. I want to say also that keeping Australians safe is obviously the single most important priority of government. I've had outstanding ministers in that area, particularly Maurice Payne, the Defence Minister, and the Defence Industry Minister, Christopher Pyne, and we have embarked on the largest investment in our defence capabilities ever in peacetime. And, of course, it's not simply a matter of ensuring that our men and women in the ADF have the capabilities both to give them the force they need and to ensure that they are safe in all of the circumstances they're engaging in, but it also is part of an agenda to ensure that defence industry, these advanced industries, provide the lead, the opportunities to build the Australian economy. It is all part of our economic plan. Clearly, as Prime Minister, I've had a great deal to do in terms of our international agenda. We've been able to secure, again, a reform or an achievement that many people thought was impossible, which was the Trans-Pacific Partnership. When Donald Trump pulled out of that, everyone thought it was dead. And I was mocked, as you know, by some for keeping at it. But we managed to secure the TPP-11, Trans-Pacific Partnership continued. And the fact that it has continued not only creates export opportunities for Australians, but it also provides a foundation for a trade deal for the US to re-enter at some point in the future and for others to do as well. We've also, of course, I was able to secure and then maintain the resettlement deal with the United States for refugees on Manus and Nauru. That was a challenging exercise to maintain that, but of course hundreds of refugees are now being resettled without providing the incentive for the people smugglers to get back into business again, and maintaining that strong border protection has been critically important. I was also able to ensure that when the US put tariffs on steel and aluminium, on on countries right around the world, Australia was exempted from that. Again, a great example of the way in which I have sought always to stand up for Australian jobs, Australian workers, and our industries. We've been able to ensure that we could bring back the rule of law on the building in the building sector with the Australian Building and Construction Commission. That was obviously one of the double dissolution triggers. But again, many thought that was impossible, but we were able to achieve it. So it has been a challenging time to be Prime Minister, but I'm very proud of our record. I'm very proud of my government, my minister's record in achievement. So I want to thank them. I want to thank all my colleagues. I want to thank my staff. But, you know, above all, I want to thank my wife, Lucy, for her love and support. I want to thank our children, Alex and his wife, Yvonne, and our daughter, Daisy, and her husband, James. It isn't easy being either married to or the child of a politician, let alone a prime minister. And often children get attention from the media and others that they frankly don't deserve in terms of, you know, people wanting to sort of have a crack at their father by going after them. So it's been tough on them at times, but I want to thank them for their solidarity and loyalty and love. Our grandchildren, of course, great joy. I look forward to spending some more time with them and with Lucy. But finally, I want to thank the Australian people for everything they have done for me. It has been such a privilege to be the leader of this great nation. I love Australia. I love Australians. We are the most successful multicultural society in the world. And I have always defended that and advanced that as one of our greatest assets. We must never allow the politics of race or division or of setting Australians against each other to become part of our, you know, political culture. We have so much going for us in this country, and we have to be proud of it and cherish it. Now, I suppose I should say something about the events of the last week or so. Look, I think you all know what's happened. There was a determined insurgency from a number of people, both in the party room and sort of backed by voices, powerful voices in the media, really to bring, if not bring down the government, certainly bring down my prime ministership. It was extraordinary. It was described as madness by many, and I think it's difficult to describe it in any other way. In the party room meeting today, I was impressed by how many of my colleagues spoke or voted for loyalty above disloyalty. How the insurgents were not rewarded by electing Mr. Dutton, for example, but instead my successor, who I wish the very best, of course, Scott Morrison, a very loyal and effective treasurer. I want to thank him and of course, for his great work, but above all, I want to thank Julie Bishop. She is a very dear friend. We've been friends for over 30 years, which we sometimes wonder whether we should remind people of that. But nonetheless, she's a very dear friend. She's been an extraordinary foreign minister. I would say our finest foreign minister. And she has been a loyal deputy and just a great colleague and friend. So I thank Julie very much. As you know, she's stood down as the deputy and she's succeeded by Josh Frydenberg. And again, I wish Josh all the best. He's been a very loyal and capable minister. So that is what I have to say to you today. I'm happy to take some questions. No, hang on, 1 minute. Now, you can't all talk at once, and I'm going to, given that I'm about to no longer be the Prime Minister, I'm going to ask Laura Tingle to ask me a question. Yes.
One of the frustrations that both of you have had with your Prime Ministership is Mm. Hmm.
Okay, well, Laura, what I've done always is to try to keep the party together. And that has meant that from time to time I've had to compromise and make concessions. It's something I learnt from my first time as leader, that you have to work so hard to keep the show together. There are... and that's the bottom line. But, you know, if you look at what we've achieved, it's a very long list. In terms of energy policy and climate policy, I think the truth is that the coalition finds it very hard to get agreement on anything to do with emissions. The National Energy Guarantee is a vitally important piece of economic reform. It remains the government's policy, of course, with a one-seat majority in the House, unless you can command all or almost all your votes, you can't get it passed. And I want to thank Josh for the work he's done on that. But it is, if I could say this, the emissions policy, emissions issues, and climate policy issues have the same problem within the coalition of, you know, bitterly entrenched views. That are actually sort of more ideological views than views based, as I say, on engineering and economics. It's a bit like same-sex marriage used to be, almost an insoluble problem. Now we're able to sort that out, and that is a very significant achievement of my time as Prime Minister. I'm actually, I think, the first Prime Minister to actually support legalising same-sex marriage, but most importantly, was able to get it done. Now, as for what the future holds in terms of energy policy, again, you'll have to talk to Scott about that, but clearly there's a great foundation in the announcements we've already made arising out of the ACCC report. Now, the next person I'm going to invite to ask me a question is Mr. Khoury. Well, Phil, it's obvious, you know, the Australians will be just dumbstruck and so appalled by the conduct of the last week. To imagine that a government would be rocked by this sort of disloyalty and deliberate, insurgency is the best way to describe it, deliberate destructive action. At a time when, you know, there are differences on policy, but frankly, all of them were able to be resolved with a little bit of goodwill. And of course, a month ago, as you know, as I said yesterday, we were, a little bit behind in the national polls and a little bit ahead on our own polls. So I think many Australians will just be shaking their head in disbelief as what's been done. So just go to Murfaroo there. Well, unity, Phil, is if you're not, you know, the disunity is death in Australian politics, as everyone says, and it's perfectly obvious. But the people who chose, you know, Peter Dutton and Tony Abbott and others, who chose to deliberately attack the government from within, they did so because they wanted to bring the government down. They wanted to bring my prime ministership down, and... They, the consequence is that I'm no longer PM, of course. Instead of Mr. Dutton being Prime Minister, we'll no doubt in due course we'll have Mr. Morrison. Murfaroo. We have plenty of time to ask them in the future. Yes. Oh no, I'll be leaving the Parliament not before too long. Okay, as I've always said, I've been very clear about that. It's not a secret. Now I'm just going to go to Chris Yuleman. Is he here? No. Okay. All right. What about you, KG?
Mr. Turnbull, do you have any regrets as you look back at the three years?
Oh well, I'm sure this. If I have time to reflect on them, I'm sure I'll think of a few. But right at the moment, I'm really just uh, I, I'm I'm focused on taking a very positive approach to all of these issues. I think there's, again, I've got great optimism for Australia. I'm proud of the achievements of the government. I'm proud, but I talk about my team in my office. Clive and Sally and Boldy and the whole team. I have never worked with a better team of people than I have in my office. They are outstanding. And we've run a very good government, you know, in the sense that the cabinet hasn't leaked very much, despite your best efforts to cause it to do so. We've been united. We've had a thoroughly traditional approach. So that's been good. OK, now, do I have a thoroughly traditional grandson? Here he is. Here's Jack. Here's Jack. And here's Daisy. And here's Alice and Lucy.
Mm. Oh, so proud of
you. OK, now, I'm going to take a couple more.
Come on.
Now, you're all right. Just come here. Just one more. Perhaps you, David? Yeah. Yes. Well, look, this is a matter of political history, and we might just wrap up with that. But the fact is, there was a leadership ballot on Tuesday, which I won convincingly. The proposition that there should be almost immediately another ballot is really unprecedented. So it was reasonable for me to say, well, if you want to call another party meeting, you better tell me why. Show me evidence that a majority want to do that. So insofar as there has been chaos this week, it has been created by the wreckers. I have done everything I can to maintain the stability of government and the stability of the party. But, of course, if people are determined to wreck, then, you know, they will continue to do so. But, yes? I have no idea what he's going to ask. What are we just picking Jack up from school, maybe? Yeah. Yes.
He starts next year.
No. This is look. I came into politics at the very mature age of 50, I've had a very good time here in the Parliament. I've always been focused on what I can deliver for the Australian people. Again, the critical thing is with politics. It's not about the politicians. That's why this week has been so dispiriting, because it just appears to be, you know, vengeance, personal ambition, factional feuding, whatever you describe it. It hasn't had anything to do with 25 million Australians. And, you know, the Australians we should be focused on, above all else, are these little ones. You know, it is the next generation that we are working for here in this place. And we have we have achieved a great deal. It has been, there are some things that I would have liked to have completed or done more on, but to be really honest with you, we have got so much more done in this government, and particularly in this parliament, than I expected, a lot more than any of you expected, as you know. So, sceptics that you all are. So, look, thank you all very much, and I wish you all the best. And above all, I wish the new Prime Minister-elect the very best and his team. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alice,
come on.
Thank you all. Come on, Jack. Come on, Jack. There you go.
That's it from your very weary SBS team here at Parliament House in Canberra. Have a great weekend.
SBS acknowledges the Ngunnawal people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which the Australian Parliament sits and where this program was recorded. We pay respect to the elders of the Ngunnawal Nation, both past and present.